All right, members of the City County Council, majority are in the House. President Maggie Lewis, Councilors Pam Hickman, Joe Simpson. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so Monday night, a number of budgets were approved by the council. Let me start with the ones that virtually the entire council approved, and that was because the council has statutory oversight over the budgets of municipal corporations to include Indigo, the Capital Improvement Board, and the library. As I understand it, the budgets for Indigo and the library included some more spending, and the council passed those budgets. Was it unanimous?
Correct. Republicans,
Democrats, and so library, Indigo mm-hmm. had the support of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. There were two things on the budget. There was a part of the budget that dealt with the assessor's office, and there were a couple of conflicts of interest. Council mm-hmm. President, you had a conflict of interest,
sir.
And another member, and so that passed separately. Was that just the assessor part of the budget?
Yes, because my spouse works in the assessor's office. Council Mary Maury Artie Adams, she works in that office and actually created that budget, and therefore it was important that the two of us excused ourselves from that vote, but it did pass.
All right, now we get to the main budget for the city and county. First of all, in that budget, if people were to look at that final budget, is the amount of money projected to be taken in this budget that you all approved and the amount of money you would spend, is there more revenue coming in than spending? In other words, is it a balanced budget or is the budget in red ink?
It is absolutely a balanced budget. Our numbers are pretty much the same as what the mayor presented 2 months ago when he came before the council and presented that budget.
And the difference is, Amy, is that we're spending down on the rainy day fund about mm-hmm. $8 million because of the tax, the homestead mm-hmm. tax.
So when the mayor says this budget is not honestly balanced, that is not a correct statement, Pam Hickman?
No, he's absolutely wrong. But he wants you to believe that it's not balanced. His budget made no concessions for more police on the street, more firemen, and no recruit classes. Now, to me, that's extremely important if he wants anyone to use those shiny new sidewalks, curbs, and bicycle lanes, because we're not going to use them if we're not safe on them.
The mayor is saying that the council in this budget added more spending than he did not want. Is that correct? Did you all add any areas of spending? Pam Hickman raised her hand. Madam President, did y'all add anything that he didn't want?
No, this is the thing. At the bottom line is still a $1.2 billion budget. We shifted the dollars. We worked with the draft that he gave us, and then we went back after several weeks, lots of conversations with one, our constituents, the department heads, and we shifted the money. But the numbers are still the same. He may be speaking to the rainy day funds. We drew down more dollars out of that fund.
So this was the savings account.
Exactly. Right. The rainy day funds. And in my mind, it is raining, Mr. Brown, and so we did use those dollars.
Did you take all the dollars out of the savings account, or is there money still in
the
savings account?
$2.3 million left in that fund, and if the money comes from CIB, we will replenish those dollars.
Let me go and on this CIB thing for a minute. I got a tweet on Twitter mm-hmm. From Alan. And Alan says, Mayor said City County Council went after a one-time revenue source and not controlling costs. When the $20 million is spent, how do we sustain more police? So first of all, CIB gets their money from the hotel tax, the motel mm-hmm. tax, the rent-a-car tax, all kind of
admission
tax on tickets downtown. They take the local option income tax mm-hmm. that Peyton Manning will spend if he ever comes back here and plays. Cleveland takes it from them. When the Minnesota Lynx come in here, we take their local option income tax. That's where that money goes. How much did you recommend using from the CIB, and would all that money go to hire police and firefighters?
So there is $67 million in the CIB budget for operation. We have requested $15 million out of that $67 million.
Is that in the savings account? There's $67 million just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. It's in that operation. And so there's $67 million. We asked for $15 million. We asked to have a conversation to go back and forth. And yes, Mr. Brown, I do serve on the CIB board. And so that is an accurate number. And so we suggested $15 million. We'd look at it and see where we're at for next year and maybe come back and have an additional conversation. But my colleagues felt that it was important that CIB at least give a little bit something. When they needed help, my colleagues and I voted to give them the additional dollars that they needed to get over the hump. And so we're just asking them to return the favor.
Is it correct that the city got $8 million earlier this year from the CIB supposedly to defray Super Bowl costs?
Exactly.
So they had, was that from directly from the CIB or was that another from little TIF. Savings account?
The TIF.
That was one of them TIFs.
I think that was a downtown.
I don't remember exactly where we did get reimbursed for public safety from CIB. Mm-hmm. I think what Councilor Simpson's referring to, the city does give CIB $8 million annually to help support Visit Indy.
Wait a minute. We give them money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To support.
So in the budget the council approved Monday, mm-hmm. are you giving CIB any money to give to the Visitors Association?
Absolutely.
You are?
Yes.
Now I'm going to be dumb. If we're broke and we don't have cops on the street and stuff, why would we even give the CIB the money? Why would we just keep that $8 million and that's money we could use for the recruit class? Right. And if y'all listening with this at Visit Indy, y'all don't need no more. Chill out for a minute.
Amos, I would say that going forward, I think that I want to say that President Lewis, Pam Hickman, all of us spent a lot of hours, a lot of sleepless nights working with the department heads, and I want to recognize them, and I want to recognize the controller. He finally came around and worked with us. We had to work very, very hard to balance this budget because there were gaps and holes, like the Parks Department. They left out utilities, $400,000 worth of utilities. They had to drain that money from the rainy day fund. So anything that wasn't balanced within that 1.2 got balanced because they had to shift some funds around. And I truly want to commend, you know, our CFO, Hope Tribble, and Fred B., Secretary Attorney for the Council, and all of my council members who spent a lot of hours working on this. And in the very end, this budget is balanced. President Lewis is absolutely correct. We know where the money is. We know how the money is being spent. The piggy bank is a little bit smaller than what they were expecting to be. They wanted to be around $13 million, and we took it down to 2.92 balance this budget and to make sure. Now, 2014, we're going to start working on that. I mean, President Lewis and all of us agree we're going to start working on 2014 next year immediately.
You may have questions about the city budget. 239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. Or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. I also understand that the Parks Department, which usually is the whipping boy in city budgets, that money was added to the Parks budget, so they will be spending a little bit more next year than this year?
Yes, and then also, Councilor Simpson just mentioned it, there was no money in their budget to pay for utilities. Why would we not go back and ensure that is going to take place,
bill? Wait a minute. When the mayor submitted his budget, mm-hmm. he did not put any money to pay for the lights in the park community centers,
exactly.
the water bill, the gas bill.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So our babies would be over in the park playing or in the community centers having tap lessons in the dark. And so it was important that we went back and put those dollars in the budget.
So there was a lot of.
How does a budget get through to the council and utilities? That seems like that's a basic budgetary. And I'm trying to throw the controller's office under the bus. And he may have been busy. He just didn't. Right. There's a lot of little things. How do you miss something like that?
And that's what I'm saying to you, Amos, that our job as counselors was to monitor that budget. And Pam and Maggie and us, we sit on committees. I mean, we were in these committees till 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. I mean,
y'all ain't got no utility money up in here, what was their reaction? Did they say, oops, there it is?
Well, the Parks Department brought it to our attention and mm-hmm. said that there was a mistake and the controller made a mistake. And And through our CFO and everybody, they went back and made a correction. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we had to deal with to make sure this budget was balanced, find all the faults. And then once again, the department heads played a very important role to make sure that they had what they are. I mean, the prosecutor ended up with an extra person. You know, the courts got an extra judge. I mean, these are things that we just shift around that we wanted to make sure that it stayed pretty much the same.
Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
I got a couple of issues. Number one is I'd like, and I've asked you this before, with the president being there, with Luke Kenley making these threats, whether they be idle or not, what about asking him or the state legislature to put the ticket tax back on that they turned down for the users of the Colts games, i.e., you know, a ticket tax so that people who actually go to the games help support, and that money could be used to give the CIA support.
I think there's already a tax on the tickets.
I thought they shot that down when they tried to impose it originally.
Pam Hickman was kind of signaling. Is there a tax on the ticket, or is that not the case?
There is a suggestion that we do an additional ticket tax.
Okay.
Okay. Now here's the other thing. I suggested you also put it on the legislative plate, or the city, whoever it falls under. As I stated before, the Indiana Convention Visitors Bureau, Indianapolis Downtown Inc., how are they funded? So you got, it seems like a duplication of service.
That's a good point.
And I'm going to just say, coming from the minority community, I'm troubled that it seems like Councilman Mahern and Hickman are the only ones actually making definitive issues or statements, these TIFs. I was troubled by Ossoli and you, Joe Simpson, on how that last TIF got proposed and what I'm reading on the blogs. And Amos, I ask you to get Pat Andrews on here sometime to discuss these issues, because the lids being lifted off and the lights, you know, is being exposed, and two wrongs don't make a right. Just because they've been doing it for this long doesn't make it right. And that TIF, I have big issues with how that got done after the fact, and sitting there and watching. I watch Channel 16, but you guys, you know, you don't have a leg to stand on. That really looks bad.
All right, let me let the council respond.
Oh, a couple things. I'm going to start first with the tax increase. And so in January of 2013 through March of 2013, the council could actually increase the taxes for the car rental, for the admission taxes, and the hotel taxes. And so that is something that the council could actually do. The second thing, Downtown Indy, it's a collaboration of a variety of businesses downtown that are looking to help continue to grow and develop the downtown area. I think it's important that when I go to those meetings, the minority community is often missing. And so I believe it's important that we should attend those meetings and speak up about the work that they do. But their mission and their purpose is to continue to develop and focus on downtown Indy and ensure that those businesses continue to grow and to develop. As far as the blogs, you know, when I first got elected in 2008, probably one of the best suggestions that I received was to stay off of blogs because, and no offense to those who write them, but oftentimes they're full of rumors and lies, and they do not go back and ask the counselors, what did you mean when you said A, B, and C? They kind of just take bits and pieces of information and make a story out of it. So, you know, you got to remember the source. I don't think that all the blogs are written by some of our top journalists in our city. And so.
But let me go back to the TIFs. The council has set up a mechanism, and an ordinance is moving through.
Right.
To put more regulation and teeth into the TIFs.
Yeah, so on the TIFs, we did have the commission, and it was made up of some very influential individuals, very knowledgeable about TIFs, and so they did some really great work. We can debate how the downtown TIF expansion played out, and so there was wrong things that happened on both sides when it came down to this specific TIF. But at the end of the day, I think what the council was able to do, what we did, we sent the proposal back. We did allow for public testimony. We gave the counselors who sponsored the opportunity to go and negotiate what they felt that was important for their district. But most importantly, the people that were in District 15, they came out and they spoke and they wanted this. And so that was the message to our my colleagues when we actually ended up voting for that TIF.
Joe Simpson, briefly, the caller's comment about your involvement in the downtown TIF.
And the president is absolutely correct. When it comes to my Mass Avenue and VOPS, which is over there above 16th Street, what people need to understand is that we're talking about jobs. We got a $1.5 million job opportunity to employ some people. We're also talking about, when it comes to the Mass Avenue, we're talking about building a new fire station. This TIF is going to benefit, put a new station up, which is desperately needed down there, and a developer is going to come buy the land and build. And the IPS bus depot, IPS is in a real bad position. They cannot afford to move that bus depot. And what people don't understand, and Pat Andrews and them, they don't live in my district. And these are people that are along Mass Avenue all around, want change down there. They've worked very hard without a TIF, and they want to continue to improve that down there. And what they're talking about, if the TIF moves the bus depot, it's going to be paid for through TIF money, property tax money, which is going to be $18 to $20 million. So when people started complaining like the contractors are going to benefit, no, these two projects in Mass Avenue, the fire station, which is about $14 million, and the bus depot is $20 million, that's what the TIF is going to be paying for.
239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's name has got a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. And it seems like this is from a hardworking county employee, because the text message says, can you please ask your guests as to why the support staff of the county have not had a cost of living raise in over 3 years?
You know, that's a great question, and we're actually going to be studying that next year. But it did come up during this budget cycle. They did allocate, they're allowed to do merit raises, if you will. Some of us advocated for across-the-board raises, but the dollars are in there for them to at least do merit raises.
So there are dollars in the county agencies, which would be the courts, which would be the clerk, prosecutor, and what have you. So if they're good, hard-working county employees that do a great job or super job, there could be a blessing.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, and I'm going to say that also Auditor Bro brought this to our attention. Our county employees are paid a lot less than the city employees.
And we're going to do it.
Do we need a Lilly Ledbetter Act for county employees?
Right. That's why we're going to do this commission to actually study all the departments.
239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is to the phones and Imhotep. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
All right, how you doing? Elected staff or selected staff? Which one do you want to be called? Elected or select? I guess both.
Call me Joe.
Anyway, I'll go real quick. Just three real quick things. Number one is with our stadium. I read a report out of New York City. Now I don't know if she just dogged out journalism, but I think Wall Street Journal may be pretty accurate, may not. But anyway, the report stated that they combined the New York New Stadium, they combined Dallas' stadium, and they combined Houston Stadium. And all three of those stadiums combined pay less of of the population paying for those three stadiums than our one stadium when we're 24th in population, and we know how New York or Dallas and New York are more than us. How are we going to support this stadium, the taxpayers? And these three stadiums alone pay less than our one, and they have way more people can do. Second question is, going back to those jobs with those TIFs, are you going to have a mechanism in place? Because I get tired of going past construction sites and sites in the community and seeing others working at our sites. Are you going to have a mechanism in place to make sure that you can either, when the applications are being taken, that we know where they are, we can get down there and put them in there, and we can keep a track on who's being hired. And thirdly, can you guys please tell me or our listeners, is there a way that you are auditing your county contractors? I applied for a position at your county jail one in Alabama, and that contractor has not ever gotten back to me. I have filed a claim with the office of equal opportunity concerning maybe some wrongness going on, and I want to know, is there a mechanism on that you all have to quantify and make sure that those people are doing the things they want to do? Because the bottom line is that job. And thank you.
All right. What are y'all going to do? What are you going to do with your TIF and you and Bob Osley? So that MoTeP ain't looking for y'all.
Well, not only him, but everybody's looking because it is the issue. It's the number one issue. Vop and I fought very hard, and that's why we're using this tool, the TIF. What we're doing is that we are getting $1.5 million to do some. We want to make sure that when these people get these jobs, they can stay on these jobs. We want permanent jobs. We want to make sure when people, such as there are tool and die companies around here, we want to go to them and ask them, if we give you some training money, will you hire 20 people to do tool and die? Good jobs. We're looking, you know, on construction jobs. They're talking about welding, HVAC, and that kind of stuff. So Vop and I are still working on the detail of that, but we want people to be certified. We don't want you to get a certificate. We want you to have this so you can move around. The real key that people need to understand is that we don't, when these TIFs get, you know, moving along, and we've raised in that TIF about 40% minority participation. It's not mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the law. All we're saying is to the city, raise your conscience level of looking at minorities participating in these contracts.
Is this also the reason that of the $80 million the mayor wanted to spend in the money that he got for selling the water company in this rebuild Indy, in the budget you all held $20 million mm-hmm. of that money back so that you can see how they spend in the other 60 before you decide to release the 20, and the mayor don't like that?
Exactly. We appropriated $68 million of the Rebuild Indy funds. We left $20 million, and every other month we're asking them to come back before our body and give us a report of how those dollars have been spent. What are the numbers as far as MBE, WBE participation? So we're asking for more transparency.
Right.
Once they spend those dollars, they can have the $20 million, but it's important that we start seeing the information at the community here, how those dollars are spent, and are they going back into our community?
So would that also look at how many of these contractors are out of state, so we don't see Kentucky plates and Illinois plates and Ohio plates? We see Indiana plates, and the contractor actually lives here and not in Springfield, Illinois?
Right.
Yeah, Pam?
Go ahead. Exactly, Amos. And one of the things that we are emphasizing that has not been done before is Indiana workers. I don't think that this administration has made that a priority. It was to get the job done and hire whoever they wanted and live with whatever happened. We want to make sure, and that's why we have the workforce development money, that first of all, our citizens are trained for a job for the future as well as now. We also want Indiana employees. Now, it is against the law to force anyone to hire someone. But it isn't against the law to say, hey, this is what our goal is. Work with us on this, because maybe there won't be another TIF if we can't get this done right.
In his statement that he issued literally minutes after you took the main budget vote Monday night, the mayor, you know, said that the council was holding back, paraphrasing now, holding back downtown progress, and he talked about 70,000 jobs in downtown. Now, I think the mayor's talking about everybody that works downtown, and including the 100 people that work here at the radio stations, and we get no money from the CIB. How can the mayor say that all the jobs downtown are directly tied to the capital improvement board?
And not only are they can't be, because not everybody that he's talking about lives in Marion County, so those tax dollars don't come back here.
Mm-hmm. Amos, that was a ridiculous statement. You got to keep in mind, whether you think it was controversial or not, we did pass the downtown TIF, and we approved the bonding for the One American parking garage. And so all of that is happening within the downtown area. So to me, that was just a ridiculous statement.
And Amos, let me say one more thing about the TIF. There's a sunset in these TIFs. Everything that the commission worked hard for, We made sure, Vop and I made sure that it was responded to those issues that were in the commission report. So that there is a sunset, 25 years, this thing go away. You know, it settled down. And that's real important, because the downtown TIF doesn't have a sunset in it at all.
Let me follow up on something. When the Wayne Township School Board candidates were here on Monday, They brought up a worry and a concern they have. They're saying that the assessed value of property in Wayne Township, in the school district part, is deteriorating. It is going down. And they are nervous that that is going to impact the dollars available in their transportation budget and in their repair budget, which is tied to the property tax. And there is a bunch of TIFs in Wayne Township, particularly the older parts of the airport where they've got all these empty buildings that could be turned over and made tax approval. And I also understand, Pam Hickman, when the airport budget came up before the council, you all approved it, but I believe some Republican members of the council that live in the airport kind of put through an amendment, and y'all agreed to it, to kind of send a little warning out to the airport to, you know, start playing nice.
Well, and we have to go back to the fact that we have a park and ride who wants to build in Decatur Township near the airport that will produce tax dollars.
He didn't ask for a tip. He didn't ask for a benefit.
He did not ask for one dime from the city. It also is a tax revenue for the school systems and public safety down there. The airport wanted to monopolize that by saying, we don't need another park and ride. You'll get into our funds and we'll lose money. Well, we feel, and the people in Decatur Township as well as their representative said, well, if you're going to sue us, then we need the money to sue you back. So perhaps we'll just deduct that from your budget.
That's creative.
And we as a council thought, that's a very good idea, because we agree that Decatur Township should be able to build a tax revenue.
And so this was something that Republicans came to the majority, y'all hung, and this was a bipartisan effort.
It was presented in the committee meeting, and everyone was in favor.
What the real deal, Amos, is that the Republican, all of us who live in a district, woke up about TIFs. And what they understand is that, why are we allowing DeMar to do what he needs to do? We can control these TIF and get what we need in our neighborhoods to provide jobs or whatever to improve our neighborhoods. This housing, the $10 million from HUD, we're, Vop and I are talking about trying to work with HUD and the city in doing like we did the dollar homes. In other words, you got 15,000 vacancy homes around here, and we're talking about how do we get rid of these and put them back on the property tax roll.
Let me take a quick break, and we'll go to Anonymous, Ms. D, and others, and then I want to get the council president's view on a couple of things the mayor said in an article in this morning's newspaper. One about that he was disappointed that the council wouldn't work with him. He said it. I want your reaction to that. And then also, he wants to know, he wants that we need to look at public safety holistically. You know, he's been in there 5 years. This job one, where's the holistic?
He's
been in Australia.
Yeah,
Afternoons with Amos after these. We have an open invitation on this program, not only to the mayor, but some would say to the real mayor of Indianapolis, the mayor's chief of staff, Ryan Vaughn, to come on the program. So those of you that are listening to the program whose job it is to transcribe everything I say and give it to the mayor, the mayor's invitation is open. It has been nearly one whole year since the mayor has talked to the African-American community in prime time. And since the mayor is never here, you know, we reinforce and extend our invitation to the chief of staff, Ryan Vaughn, to come on and explain. The mayor seems to be also upset that he cannot eliminate a property tax credit, which would mean that some homeowners, you all estimate nearly 200,000 homeowners in the city, would have to pay a little something extra. Getting rid of this credit, but I understand, Councilor Pam Hickman, getting rid of the homestead tax credit would take money away from our public schools. Do we know how much our schools would get dinged by this mayor, our education mayor's proposal?
Well, just education would be $3.4 million. But let me explain how this happens.
Okay.
First of all, it was explained to us that those in the lower incomes wouldn't be affected at all. That would be a zero. The average was
They thought this was going to be a Romney thing.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And that the average was $22. Well, that might be an average, but there are homeowners in this community that it's going to be more. Now, okay, maybe it's people with nicer homes, but how long can we tax people on their property and their income at the higher levels and keep them in Marion County mm-hmm. when they can go in another county and live there for less taxing. Now, once they took the homestead credit and they used it for whatever, because it wasn't public safety, it wasn't in the budget, mm-hmm. 3.4 would not go to the schools. Mm-hmm. But the schools would have to make up that 3.4, and the way they would do that would be by fees. Those fees would be on every parent, poor, rich, or not. So how is that benefiting the citizens if we're going to ding some and not others, but we're going to charge every student a new fee because the schools are going to get less money?
And if the district didn't charge a fee, they would be out the money.
They would be out the money. Now, there's still dollars that wasn't going to go to the library either.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's Indigo. In there also.
And Indigo. Right. So the homestead credit, and don't get it confused with, you know, your deduction. The homestead credit is less money. Their excuse is, well, we were supposed to do this when we did property caps. Well, if you were so smart when you did property caps, then why didn't you do it then? Mm-hmm. And it is a new tax. Let's call it what it really is. It's a tax on the homeowners who wouldn't get it anymore, and it's a fee raise, which I think we've had around 800 of them in this administration, on parents of school children of all income levels.
And may I add one thing about the homestead credit? It is a tool that we are going to have to look at. Mm-hmm. It was offered up 2 years ago, and it was not addressed. But we recognize that this body may have to actually do it or have a real in-depth view of the homestead. So next year, we are going to take a look at the homestead credit. But once again, it was reckless that they would put that in a budget and say it's balanced without talking to my colleagues. You do not have a conversation with either side of the aisles about doing this elimination
and
of this
and
credit.
I understand there was nervousness even among Republicans who voted against the budget. You know, there was nervousness that they would be put in a position of trying to defend increasing any kind of property tax on folks.
Right. And I spoke to counselors on both sides of the aisles, and we just did not have the support to do this.
Let me go to some calls. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there. Okay. Oh, we answered Anonymous's question. Let me go to Miss D. Hi there. And we answered Miss D.
See,
we talked too long.
No. 239-1310. Let me go to this other thing. The mayor said in this article today that he was asked the question, what were your general principles in crafting the budget and how does the council's version uphold those or deviate from them? The mayor says, and I quote, I was frankly hoping that the council would come alongside and try to help us find more savings. Instead, they tried to find more revenue sources. That looks to me like it's kicking the can down the road. Madam President, was there any time where the mayor picked up the phone and said, President Lewis, Maggie, Miss Lewis, can we sit down and have a cup of coffee and try to find some common ground on my budget?
He never picked up the phone. He did not text me. He did not email me and have a conversation with me regarding the budget. I have said from day one, I want to be a partner with this administration. Now, to whomever's credit, I did have several conversations with department heads. I did have several conversations with Mr. Ryan Vaughn, Mr. Jeff Rader, but I did not speak to the mayor. But if he wants to call me, he can call me at any time. I would love to have a conversation with him regarding this budget.
The other thing the mayor says, and when he talks about public safety, he says, quote, we have never looked at public safety holistically. We've never done that as a city that I know of. Real improvement is a combination of people, process, and technology. It's not just one thing. Everybody just wants more cops. But what we're really trying to do is buy lower crime. Could it is that I hope I don't know whether that's a misprint, but it says by BUY lower crime. Could it be more police? Maybe. Could it be a process improvement? My point is, we don't know because nobody talks to one another. All these different public safety groups are in silos and they're all fighting for their own vested interests. It's not good for the taxpayer. Again, if he's saying this now, is it time for him and you? And it would probably include you as well as the majority leader and Councillor McQuillan, the minority leader. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we move forward?
You know, once again, I welcome that opportunity to sit down with the mayor and whomever he selects to have a conversation about public safety. He said from day one that public safety is job one. We agree on that. And that's why we did what we did to ensure that we get additional officers out there on the street and additional firefighters.
Now, I got an idea, Madam President.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a week from tomorrow is our 7th annual Moselle Sanders fundraising luncheon, where we raise money to help the Moselle Sanders Thanksgiving dinner effort. And it'll be out at Outback from 11 to 1 Outback on West 86th Street, just east of Michigan Road, from 11 until 1. No speeches, no program, no awards, just people coming together. I got people coming. There are people that have RSVP'd who used to work for companies. They've either been laid off or fired, and they're coming to the luncheon just to rekindle old friendships. So at the Outback, they got one table, and Council President Lewis knows this, and the folks from the mayor's staff knows it because the mayor's been there before. They got one table off in the back in the corner. I'm willing to work with the folks at Outback to keep that table kind of off in the corner and private. And Council President Lewis says she's coming. We haven't heard yet from the mayor, but the mayor usually comes because he loves the great food that they serve at the Outback, and the donation is just $25, by the way. And they can have, and I'm sure the Majority Leader Brown will hang if he's not on duty. Councilor McQuillan, the Minority Leader, has never been to Moselle. He's welcome to come. And the four of y'all can be off in the corner, and we'll make sure that it stays private, and y'all can start to bond.
Sounds like a deal.
I mean, that's in the great spirit of Moselle Sanders. Mm-hmm. That's in the great spirit of coming together. We'll keep the photographers and the paparazzi and the media away. So mayor's office, which is also what they're saying, y'all haven't RSVP'd yet, mayor's office, and you all have been there the other 6 years because it all benefits the Moselle Sanders Thanksgiving dinner. And all of you are welcome to attend. It's from 11 to 1 next Thursday at the Outback, West 86th Street. I think it's 3454 West on 86th Street, just east of Michigan Road. And it $25, they're going to have the Bloomin' Onions. They're going to have the seafood, or either choice of seafood or meat. A great Outback give back, and all the $25. We don't have little fees. We don't have little CIBs going on. All the $25 goes to help the annual Moselle Sanders Thanksgiving dinner effort. So will you come?
I will be there.
Well, and also got to ask all y'all out there, will you come? Will you come? You. Even the folks at Expo, you all are welcome. Everybody's welcome. Abdul is welcome. You can afford the 25. Everybody is welcome because it is to help feed the hungry at Thanksgiving. Our 7th annual Moselle Sanders Thanksgiving dinner effort. It is next Thursday. Next Thursday from 11 to 1, we will start serving at 11. Be there at 11. Be early for a change. Don't be doing CP time. Be early for a change at the Outback, 3454 West on 86th Street. Let me go to Johnny right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Brown. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good afternoon, panel.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a serious question here, and I'm very serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have the intelligence and mind behind the mayor, have either of you considered running for mayor yourself?
It's too early. We gotta elect the president first.
I'm too old.
I understand, but it's just a question I've been wanting to ask for the longest, because we have so much intelligence behind the scenes that's never been put out.
Well, all I can say is that the Democratic Party will put up a qualified and interested candidate in the next election.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Brown, for allowing me to ask that.
I appreciate that. When will so now the mayor's got how long to decide what he's going to do the budget, and his options are what? He can veto the whole thing, or he can veto individual lines in the budget?
Exactly. He has 10 days to respond to the budget that we passed. And may I add that it was passed by Republicans and Democrats. And so he has 10 days to respond. He can do line item vetoes. If he vetoes the whole thing, then we will be operating off the 2012 budget in 2013. If he does a line item veto, then it would that line would go back to zero.
wait a minute. If he vetoes a line item and it goes to zero, where'd the money go?
Back to the general fund.
It goes back to the general fund. So it would be more balanced. All right, 239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon. I got an email. Is some of the $130 million in the state tax revenue being used in this budget? That's the money that the state found under the mattress.
That's the rainy day funds.
I thought it was like $30, $40 million that we got from that.
Mm-hmm. And so those dollars are reflected in, the spend down is being reflected in mostly in the rainy day funds.
Okay. All right, so some of that blessing is being used to build all of that.
And that was our money.
And at what point will the completed budget be available on the city's website, indy.gov?
Now, that's a great question. I believe the draft is still presented on the council's website.
So if you go to the council website, you can see the draft. Because there really weren't a lot of amendments on the floor Monday night.
Exactly. We did most of our busy work in committee. And so that information is available on our website. As far as the city's website, I'm not really sure.
All right. Council President Maggie Lewis, Council Members Pam Hickman and Joe Simpson, they'll be at the big Moselle Sanders Thanksgiving dinner luncheon. And as another incentive for the mayor to make sure he's there, I'm told Senator Vice Simpson is coming. Mm-hmm. I'm told Joe Donnelly, candidate for the U.S. Senate, is coming. Congressman Andre Carson is coming. I believe John Gregg, candidate for governor, is coming. And see, the mayor could get a whole lot of business done coming up there and benefit the Moselle Sanders. Oh, that's next Thursday, by the way. Guys, thanks very much for coming.